Hello, Canucks fans. Pete and Doug here at the Canucks Speakeasy, episode 164. Today is, what is today, Doug? I think it's Tuesday.
It's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It was game days are Tuesday and Thursday this week, so we're recording Wednesday. Man, that's been me all day. I'm just being kind of out of it. I was at the game last night, and I had a couple of soda pops, and just had an early start today, so I just, like, the brain's been kind of a little slow today. So we'll see how this goes. How you doing?
I'm good. It's the 11-year anniversary since the Golden Goal as well. Sidney Crosby, right? So
I know.
That was 11 years ago today.
14 years ago.
Oh, I don't know why I thought it was 2022 for a second there.
COVID, man.
2 years in the past. Yeah.
COVID, you're living in the past, man. Man, I think we do this every year when this comes around, but just kind of reflect on that. Like, where were you when all that happened? I'm sure we've talked about this before, but yeah, you know, it's been a year and I'm forgetful. So where were you?
Well, like the day of the Golden Goal, like the
Golden Goal morning.
So again, I guess I'm going to out myself here, which I didn't really want to do because I'm not a big person when it comes to this. But yesterday was my birthday. So it was the day before the Golden Goal was my birthday. So we were downtown, me and some buddies, a friend of mine who unfortunately is no longer with us, Mr. Phil Collins. He had just gotten back from a trip from Mexico and he brought me back mezcal that actually still had the worm in it. And I remember we were walking around downtown Granville Street on the 27th. And I had the worm or whatever. And I woke up and I was supposed to meet you at the hostel, you know, at the Beaver to watch the game. And I think you even texted me at like 8:39 being like, Doug, where are you, man? Like, it's already packed. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I ended up just going up to a buddy's house and he cooked a big hangover breakfast for me and my roommate. And we watched the game there.
Well, yeah, happy belated. I always know your birthday's right around now. I have a couple of friends late February who all keep their birthdays quiet, and I always forget. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh shit, happy birthday, Rico. Happy birthday, Doug. They all like just kind of sneak up right around now. So happy belated. I know you're not a big birthday guy. Yeah, I was on Granville Street for all that, and that was crazy. That was a good day. And it's kind of funny that Sidney Crosby wakes up and he's in Vancouver this morning. Kind of interesting. I thought as well, like, can't help but look at that rafter or the banner up in the rafters when I was at the game last night and look down and see Sid there. And I mean the Penguins are one of those teams, like, it's hard for me to hate on the Penguins, you know. Like, I'm not even really angry that we lost the game last night. Like, it's, you know, we beat them 4-3 in overtime in their building. They did the same to us. But it's really hard to hate a team with Sidney Crosby. And even, like, you know, you may don't have to be the biggest Chris Letang fan, but everything he's been through and still going, and, you know, Malkin's being a stalwart there. And it's kind of tough to hate on the Penguins like I hate on the Bruins. That was a great game. I wasn't at that game, but that was awesome, that win against Boston. But you look at Sid, it's like that's a guy that's kind of tough to hate.
Well, even the generation before Sid, right? Like, Mario Lemieux, probably my favorite non-Canuck player of all time. Him and Nick Lidstrom are probably like one and two, but it's Mario's definitely above Lidstrom for me, just ever so slightly, as my all-time favorite non-Canucks. And, you know, Jágr as well. That was cool that they, like, the, I don't know if you saw the Jágr retirement where a bunch of the guys came up with the mullet wigs, which was pretty great. Cool. But yeah, like you said, it is hard. Pittsburgh, they are a hard team to kind of hate, right? Marc-Andre Fleury, he's also another guy. I know he's not on the team anymore, but he's a very lovable character, lovable player that most people adore and respect across the league. And, you know, Sidney Crosby, do you think he's a, I know we got lots of Canucks talk, but quick question for you, Pete, do you think Crosby finishes his career as a Penguin, or do you think he at some point gets traded and tries to chase another cup somewhere else?
Nah, I think he stays a Penguin. It just seems to be the way that these things go. Like, you mentioned Mario and Lidstrom, right? Like, you know, Joe Sakic for me was another guy.
Yzerman.
I don't know. I can't really see Crosby or Ovechkin moving. It would have, I'm pretty sure they have no movement clauses as well. It'd have to be pretty monumental to do that. And I think the ask would be so huge, it would scare teams off trading for a player in their late 30s as well. But I don't see it happen. I think he retires a Penguin. I think he's got a few more years left in him and he stays in Pittsburgh. What do you think?
I agree. I know he, Crosby is an incredible competitor and he wants to win, but I do think just legacy, right, of being a Penguin, following in the footsteps of Mario, I do think that trumps chasing one last cup. But it will be interesting because I do think it, you know, there will be a conversation in the next 3-4 years. The Ovechkin thing's a little different because I think the Capitals are all in on Ovechkin because they want him to break the goal record as a Capital. So I think that's kind of the carrot that's still dangling for the Caps and Ovechkin to stay there. Where with Crosby, I mean, this team is the oldest team in the league. He's still playing at a very high elite level. And I do think he's going to want at least one last kick at the can, one more Stanley Cup. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that remaining a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah, maybe. At least he's got his multiple cups there. But true. We'll see. I don't think he's going to be ending up a Canuck, which is, you know, I kind of get chuckles when I see that. Hey, if it happens, well, you know, I'd be all over it, but I don't see it. Big news like coming out around the Canucks right now, like really in the last hours before we're about to record here. Two big things. You got Chris Tanev going off the board. It sounds like he is now a Dallas Star. I know a lot of people in this market were watching Chris Tanev and seeing if he could be a fit for the Canucks. I thought the return was not quite as big as was expected. No first rounder. But the other big news, Frank Cervelli dropping that the Canucks and the Pettersson camp have made progress. Now, this is interesting timing. I'm going to pull up while we're chatting here. I'm going to pull up Frank's tweet and read it exactly as it came across. But because obviously there's been a lot of chatter this week, and I've always thought a lot of it is noise. Here's what the exact wording on what Cervelli says. There's too many here. Everything's getting flooded with the stupid trade with Calgary. All right, there we go. Sources say Canucks have made significant progress with superstar Elias Pettersson working on what is believed to be an 8-year contract extension. Not done, but big development, and a new deal could be finalized in the coming days. So, I've thought there's just a lot of extra noise out there. Pettersson has always said he likes it here, and he wanted to wait till the offseason. Now, that's kind of the big change. I don't know if you caught Tockett's comments today in his presser about Pettersson. Did you catch those?
I did. I caught the tail end of them and I thought they were really interesting, actually, you know, because apparently Tockett mentioned that Pettersson had actually earlier in the season come to him and asked him, you know, how do you tune out the noise? Like, do you have any suggestions on how to do that? And Tockett's response seemingly was, you just try to control the things you can control.
Yeah. And Tockett even commented about how someone asked him point blank about the contract, whether it's a distraction. He's like, well, you know, he's human. It's hard not to. And so what I've been kind of wondering with, just really in the over the past hour or so since this news came out, is if Pettersson was looking at his playing. And we know Pettersson's a competitor. We know he wants to win. We know how much he wants to play at his prime. And, you know, you heard some comments about practice and stuff like this. And I wonder if he's talked with some of the team's mental sporting staff. They got like mental health staff as well. And just he's kind of realized, I'm like, this contract is a distraction. Me and my agent and I have maybe come up with a number. Let's go back to the Canucks and just see if we can get this done because I don't want this distraction to go into the playoffs. The Canucks need me to be an elite first line center when we go to the playoffs. And I wonder if talking to Tockett and talking to people around him, if he's just kind of decided, it's like, I got to get rid of this noise. Let's get a number and let's get this done now, as opposed to the off season.
Yeah. I think the mental fatigue has just taken its toll, not only on the team, the fan base, the media, the players, the player, the coaching staff. It just, I think going into this year, I understood what Petey wanted, right? He said, look, I want to assess everything at the end of the year. I want to focus on the season, focus on trying to get to the playoffs, and I don't want to talk contract. And I understand the thought process that went into that, but I think now that the Canucks are playing so well, and I think the other thing that's at play here too, and maybe this is an oversight that Petey and his agent didn't really think of. And this just goes to the preparation and the forward thinking of this management group compared to the previous management group, where they've really tried to say, hey, look, you're kind of the top of the food chain as far as contracts go. And we need to know what we'll have left for guys like a Teddy Bluger or potentially a Dakota Joshua. Can we keep an Elias Lindholm? And I think they kind of need that one peg, that, you know, that shoe to drop, which is the Petey thing. And I think this is why the management group, I think, has been a little bit frustrated with just not knowing his intention at all, because they're trying to get everything else in play and they're thinking 3-4 moves ahead, which is great. But I think that has put more pressure on Petey to kind of come to terms and make a decision. And, you know, I understand, you know, he just wants to focus on the season. But because the team's so playing so good this year, it just made it a lot harder. And what he thought would be what wouldn't be a distraction for him has become a distraction. And I think that's why maybe him and his agent, you know, and the Canucks brass have sat down and started to at least put together the structure of what a potential extension would look like.
And this is Vancouver, man. It's a Canadian market. The noise that is too. So loud here. I mean, yeah, you know, we're both on Twitter. We both check, you know,
Well, I think we lost Pete for a second.
Yeah, you did lose me there. I don't know what the heck just happened there. I got a little thing that came up on my screen. Is like something went wrong. It's like, no shit, something went wrong. I'm not in the room anymore.
It's the gremlins.
No kidding. It's been that kind of day for me. I lost my train of thought. What was I just saying?
I think we were just talking about Petey and just how maybe his thought process heading into
the season. Oh, and the noise. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And so, like, I understand, and this isn't a slag at anyone in particular, but I understand why in this stage of how people communicate with this, with social media and how we interact with news, a lot of the news comes through social media platforms and maybe get pushed or redirected to other things. I know there's the need for engagement, but I feel like this Pettersson story, because he is RFA, it's been kind of this instant kind of, you know, clickbait. The Canucks have a couple of off days. We need something to talk about. Pettersson's the easy fallback one, and that noise builds. And Pettersson, I was having a conversation with my buddy Tuffy over in Victoria today. Like, shout out to Tuffy. And we were talking about how it would be nice to get Pettersson done, because then it like you said, it frees up the money in other places. It not frees it up, but it just gives you your idea of what you're looking for, your framework. Who can we actually keep out of these players? What sort of numbers are we working on? Because that's the big piece. You know, you still got to also get Philip Hronek under contract. And this is kind of those two is then what's left after that, because that's your top two priorities, right, is Pettersson and Hronek. But we were talking about that, and we're also just talking about like a lot of the noise and just how it's like, it does just keep building. And Pettersson being a Swede and being just kind of with that very, very typical Swedish demeanor. Like, we've both been to Sweden. It's in the Swedish people, like, they're just different, right? Like, Scandinavian folks have a different way of expressing themselves. And Pettersson is just bang on for that. And
they're more reserved, right? They're generally a more
reserved it's group. You know, like, and one of the things I remember when I was in Denmark, just I have a few friends in Copenhagen, and chatting with a few of them just about stuff, and we're just kind of like talking about similarities between Canada and Denmark, and they said, you know, one thing in Denmark, and which I believe to be true across Scandinavia, is like, we don't really talk about money. And so you have a guy like Pettersson who can't go anywhere in this town without being recognized, and everyone's talking about money with this guy. It's got to be very foreign. And I think there's a part of his brain that's just saying, I want to minimize this. People are always going to talk about money. It's our salaries are on cap friendly. It's public record. It's a part of the game, but I want this conversation to end. I want people to stop asking me when I'm going to sign this contract that pays me a lot of money, because that's not really something that is done in Scandinavia. So I think this kind of combination of things. Now, again, nothing is done yet, but it's just kind of nice seeing a little bit of a breath of fresh air with all this noise that's been happening, because the noise has really been building this like peak crescendo, it feels like, over the last couple days. And a part of it is because his game is kind of taking a dip.
Yeah. And I think he didn't think it was affecting him, but the last week or two, you can tell it really, really has. I think it was Dave Pagniota from the fourth period reported, I think it was a week or two ago, that the Canucks had offered Petey a $12 million 8-year deal. And he didn't reject it, but he didn't accept it. It was just kind of, that was tendered to him, and then it was just radio silence. And I think that, and then, you know, what happened, the money thing is interesting, because I know usually if a player's an RFA, I know Brady Tkachuk is the, or not, Matthew Tkachuk, not Brady, is the most recent RFA who went into his RFA season expiring and told the Calgary Flames that he did not want to resign long-term. So they traded him to Florida. With Petey, it's never been about the money in the sense that the Canucks aren't willing to meet or pay him what market dictates. It's more, does he want to be here? Does he not want to be here? Like, you look at Nylander, William Nylander in Toronto. One of the big things with Nylander, you know, and the reason why, not this most recent extension he just signed, but a couple of years ago, he signed an extension, but I think it went right up until like November, yeah, or December. And that was more, they were fighting over the money, right? Because they had already committed to Marner. They had already committed to Matthews, and they needed Nylander to kind of fit below both those guys and Tavares, obviously. Where with Petey, it's never really been about the money. It's whether or not he wants to be here. By all reports, management, ownership have all been willing to pay him well above market value or fair market value. That's never been the issue. The issue has been, and Petey's never said he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah,
but I think exactly, the fact that he says he's never given them an indication that he wants to stay here, or at least give them an indication when they've tendered a contract, like a potential contract to him, whether or not he thinks that is in line with what he'd be willing to sign long term. I think those are all the factors that just started making the noise and, you know, in the media and on social media just get louder and louder. In these last couple of weeks, I've really stayed off Twitter, because I it's just been too much, you know, people speculating one way and this way. It's like, come on guys. Like, I get it. It's sports. Like, that's what happens. And obviously it is affecting his play on the ice. He's still a point a game player. He's probably still going to break 100 points on the season. You know, February hasn't been his best month, but it's a long season, man. It's an arduous 82 games. And right now I do think with at least this news breaking that they're talking the potential of a contract of an 8-year extension, that should at least qualm some of the storm.
Yeah, at the very least, it'll do that. I mean, we'll see what comes to fruition. One thing as well, just about, you know, you mentioned the Canucks spending. This is something that, you know, not every Canadian team has. You don't always get this in Winnipeg, Ottawa, Calgary. Say what you want about the Aquilinis, but they at least spend to the cap, which is good for this market. They're not afraid to spend on players. 8 years, $96 million, like. You know, I'm of two minds with this. Obviously, right now, the way he's playing, he's not worth that. Like, that's significantly more than Miller and Hughes and Demko, who've all been outplaying him over the last month and a half or so. That's significantly more. And as soon as you do that, that now creates, like you mentioned, Toronto. That creates the whole Tavares thing inflated the values of Marner and Matthews, because, well, maybe not Matthews. Matthews is really one of the top players in the league, but it pushed those guys into a realm that maybe other teams don't have to do with, because of their top players in like Dallas and Florida have a different framework per se than what Toronto has. And so as soon as you do that with Petey, that's also going to, if he goes to $12 million, that's also going to drive up Hughes's next deal and Demko's and everyone else's. I mean, when Pettersson's on, though, he's worth it. I just wonder right now, again, like, this is all just speculation out there. I just wonder if that's actually the number. I don't know. Like, I did have pegged for a long time. I was saying about 11 and a half. So 12 is slightly larger than that. So maybe that gets the deal done. I'm not too fussed. It's not my money. The cap's going up. We do have some dead weight cap coming up as well. But I'm, right now, it's I'm not crazy about it, but I'd be pretty happy still just to get this done. Like, you know, just get it done and then, you know, get Heroic done and then we can figure out what's after that.
Yeah. And I do, because Petey's always indicated that his most important thing is he wants to win. And I do wonder, and obviously it's, you know, the difference of 500,000 over 8 years per years, you know, that's quite significant, to be fair. It's an extra $4 million. But, you know, would he be willing to take a little bit of a hometown discount, so to speak, to try to help facilitate a win? I also think, you know, heading into the playoffs, this team's, despite their struggles the last, you know, 3 weeks or so, this is a playoff team. Does that change, right? Does it change, you know, his thought process and like how much money he's going to ask for? If they can go on a bit of a run and, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but it just kind of puts, you know, the frame of, you know, what it takes to win and the pieces you're still missing and how you can add to this team. Cause like you said, that OEL next year, it's not too bad, but I think it's the third or the fourth year of that buyout. It's a real kick in the nuts.
Yeah, it's over $4 million those years.
Well, there's 1 year where it's like 6 or 7, isn't it? I believe.
No, it goes. It doesn't go that high. It's like 4.1 or something for years 3 and 4.
Okay, but still, that's a huge. Oh, yeah, huge. And despite the cap going up, like that's a huge amount. And you know, you're essentially working at a deficit then, right? Because every other team's say spending $100 million, and you're only allowed to spend 96 million, you know what I mean? And that's the difference between, you know, a depth scoring defenseman or a winger.
That's some good math. That's almost as good as your other 11 years. Yeah, when it was 12 years there, but you're on fire with the numbers today. I mean the thing as well that, like, you know, I kind of just briefly touched on this, but like JT Miller and what the Canucks signed him to. JT Miller has, man, 9 goals over the last month. Pettersson has 2. Garland's got more than him over that time as well. But JT Miller, what he is doing right now is pretty remarkable. And I just want to give him some more praise. At the game last night, there was a JT Miller chant that erupted, which was fantastic.
Could hear it on the TV.
Yeah, awesome. That's great. And it was very spontaneous. It just kind of started in like several corners of the arena all at once. It felt like.
And it looks like Pete dropped out again.
Yeah, strike two. I don't know what's going on, man. I didn't get any of this when I was in La Paz. My computer just doesn't seem to be too happy here today. I can call in from Bolivia, but I can't do it from the West End. But Miller is doing something that I'm having a tough time really remembering when a player in the regular season did this with Vancouver. And like, I mean, Hughes has still been playing great. Demko was phenomenal, I thought, last night. Demko's been out of this world. But JT Miller, what he is doing right now is really quite special. And he's not only just like scoring goals, he's hitting, he's won both sides of the special teams, he's leading. This is a contract that's going to get fantastic value, I think, for a while, maybe not the last year or so of it. But I wonder as well, like, you know, when you look at the Canucks cap numbers, again, Pettersson's going to be a big jump, but if whatever it is, but Miller, man, I just want to give him a whole heap of praise because he is just being a beast lately. It is fun to watch. I love the power forwards, man. I love it. We've got our own Rick Tocchet on the ice. I liked Rick Tocchet when he was a player because that was the type of guy I always liked to get in the early EA Sports games, those big power forwards that just bump everyone off the puck. So I loved Rick Tocchet back then. And I feel like JT Miller is, you know, I dare I say, might be our best true power forward ever. I mean, Bertuzzi comes to mind. But I can't really think of anyone else that's really in the same vein as being a power forward with this team. And JT Miller is going to have the longevity of it as well. He's going to have more time played than Bertuzzi. So, it's the way he's playing. It's tough to argue, I think.
Yeah. Look, I think that 2-3 year run Bertuzzi had where he was, you know, the West Coast Express line was the best line in hockey. I don't think Miller's quite gone to that dominance physically on the ice. To me, the only other guy that is like this, like the way that Miller's been playing that I can think of, he was better defensively than Miller has, although Miller has taken some steps this year and become a better two-way player, is Ryan Kesler, right? Yeah. Like to me, yeah. like he's kind of the Kesler. If you're to like try to peg players from the 2011 team to this, he's kind of like the Ryan Kesler. Kesler was a better two-way player, but Kesler had that power game at times as well. He was also, you know, Kesler was a great skater. He was really fast. But I agree. Like, I think Miller has been unreal. And look, the entire team has really bought in, like guys like Hughes and Petey and Besser, Hronek, you know, have all bought into the coaching. But JT really seems like he's been a sponge with Rick Tocchet. The amount of times you see him and Tocchet just talking on the bench together, you hear about, you know, after a practice, Miller and Tocchet go over plays together. He really seems to be studying tape and like taking his, not that he never took his career seriously, but like wanting to be better. And the fact that he's ramping his game up like this heading into the playoffs, I think we got what 19, 20 games left in the regular season.
I think it's 22 actually, but yeah, close.
Okay. Again, my math has been really strong this episode.
I know. You're killing it. That's okay. Your math, between your math and my connection, we're going to put in our solid C plus game today.
There we go. And we don't have Brendan either, right? He's usually a good counterbalance to us.
That would have brought us down to a C minus.
But I think it's just, yeah, Miller, like he's really bought in, really bought in. And, you know, Rick Talk, it just seems like is there anyone across the league more respected in hockey circles than Rick Tocchet? Like legit, like he just seems like everybody loves this guy. And I think the players love him. And, you know, even hearing Tocchet today, like circling back to what we mentioned about how Petey had come to him and asking him how to like shut off the noise and stuff like that, like to have that open door policy. And the fact that Tocchet does go out of his way to have one-on-one talks with his players. And these guys are really buying in, and we're seeing that with Miller. And I agree, that Boston Bruins game, like Miller was head and shoulders, not only the best Canuck, but the best player on the ice. And I'll say it, he wheeled the Canucks to victory in that game, in my opinion.
Yeah, he didn't want to lose. Like you saw the excitement in that game when there's a few things I really liked. I loved Hronek getting all the bumps after he scored on the bench from everybody. There's a great shot out there of Besser and Miller on the winner once Besser taps it in. But that was vintage Miller saying, we are not losing five in a row here. We are going to win this game and carrying the team. And there's a lot of I made a tweet this week about how I believe Miller is the team MVP right now. And again, of course, he's on a hot streak right now. Over the full 82 games, is he MVP? I mean, it's hard to not say Hughes and what he's done for this team as well. Hard not to say Demko early season. It's hard not to say Petey. But the fact that, you know, and Brock Besser leads the team in goals, but the fact that we have our best players being our best players for the most part right now is fantastic. And that's, again, going back to when we were talking about Petey, I do think that's a big thing that Petey's thinking is like, look at what JT is doing right now. Look at what Brock is doing. His buddy Brock, right? Like Brock has been scoring goals. Well, he's got 3 goals over the last 2 games now.
Hoglander. What about
Hogs? Yeah.
Hoglander's 2 goals away from being a 20 goal scorer.
Isn't that like amazing? Crazy. Hoglander's sitting at 18 goals and deserving it. Like, and it gets me excited as well. Not to go too off topic, but it gets me excited for Pod Colson next year, because I think Pod Colson and his trajectory right now, although kind of a year behind, even though they're the same draft class, what's happening with Pod Colson is getting me excited. And then, of course, Lekera Mackey, what he's doing, that's getting me excited too. If he comes over and you develop him in the A as well.
Atu Ratti is on, I think, a heater right now for
him
as well. He's playing really well. I think he's got 7 points in his last 7 games.
Wow. And you know, we should talk about Archdeep Baines, speaking of the call-ups.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think he's looked over his 4 games?
He's looked great. Like he fits in. He's hard on the forecheck. He's had a couple of great looks. He's had a couple great chances setting up his teammates. And unfortunately, he's pointless in what, 3 games now, 4 games with the big club. But he has not looked out of place whatsoever.
Great skater, I think. And he uses his size. And you do those two things and on a Tocchet team, he's also plays very deep on the forecheck. I think a little bit of hands of stone right now, a little bit nerves, maybe also just some really bad luck with some of his line mates and setting up. But it's I really I'm a little surprised. I got to admit, like, I thought it was maybe going to be a one game call up and get sent back down. But we've now seen him for a handful of games here, and he doesn't look out of place. And Tocchet, you can tell he likes him. He isn't sitting the guy, at least not yet. But I've been quite impressed with him. I think the Canucks have something with Arshdeep Bains. It's found money, local kid. I remember the year that I think it was his last year, his draft year. I can't remember, but McDavid was the only guy in the dub who had more points than him. So the guy can score. And so if you got that and you're working on the fundamentals, and this again shows the connection that the Canucks have with on both sides in Vancouver and Abbotsford, you have guys learning the same system there and then coming up, and it's a lot easier. And that was something I really noticed with Arshdeep Bains' forecheck, is like, this is something that the Canucks have been preaching all season, and Bains just comes in and does it right away. And that's again why I'm excited for Pod Colson next year, because I fully expect Pod Colson to be on the team next year. Is I've seen him doing that in Abbotsford as well. And it makes a big difference when you can have a strong skater, a big body going in as your first guy right away without having to, spend a couple weeks teaching that to him. He's already got it. I think that's huge. So that's something for me, really being impressed with Arshdeep Bains.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway with Arshdeep Bains for me is his hockey IQ, and you can't teach that. You either have it or you don't. And he is you can tell just the way his position is and where he is on the ice at certain times. He's very good defensively. He's made a couple of great plays on the defensive zone, skating back. I like him, and he's kind of like interchangeable with guys like DiGiuseppe and Lafferty, who I think Lafferty's actually played really well the last.
Yeah, he had a good game, really good game last night. I thought, like,
very noticeable, like speed. Yeah. His speed was definitely like noticeable last night, at least on the television. I know you said you were in the building last night, but I also think it's just great because it shows the guys down in Abbotsford that if you put in the work, you will be rewarded when the opportunity comes. And I do think, who knows, once Dakota Joshua gets back in the lineup, I know he's meant to be seeing a specialist at the end of this week, apparently. That definitely seems to have affected the Canucks. But right now, I think Bains is a really great person to kind of slot in that Dakota Joshua spot. And I do wonder if this, and I agree with you, I think Pod Colson will be on this team next year, but I do wonder if this is a bit of a showcase to see if there's any chemistry with Garland, potentially Blueger. I know they've been playing Lindholm there instead of Blueger last night. I think they rolled the four centers with Miller centering a line, Petey, Lindholm, and then Blueger. But I think it's just testing the waters, because it seems like he would be a natural fit to take over Dakota Joshua's spot next year if Joshua isn't re-signed. I hope they do re-sign him. But again, you got to count all the money here, because there's a lot of guys that you need to re-sign. But I don't think Arshdeep Bains has looked out of sorts whatsoever. He looks like he belongs in the NHL, and he's probably going to get sent back down to Abbotsford at some point to help them on their playoff run. But yeah, man, I think he's looked really good so far.
And again, it's another free depth acquisition. Like you said, DiGiuseppe, Lafferty, Amon, Bains, they can't all play. Phil Kessel is still in the mix down there too.
Oh yeah.
And I expect Kessel to probably get signed around the deadline. I've said this since the get-go. I think he's going to get signed later just for cap reasons, but there's another body that's in the mix. When I hear things about Jake Guentzel, I'm like, unless a piece like Mikheyev or something is going out, I'm not really that keen on bringing in another winger. I do think Dakota Joshua, I cannot believe how noticeable it is not having him.
And looks third time now Pete's gone down, but I'm sure he'll be back in a moment.
What is going on today? This has got some computer issues going on. But yeah, that third line, because now they're split up too, right? Like Garland and Blueger.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. Who would have thought at the start of the year, Dakota Joshua and Carson Soucy, not having them around, how much of a talking point that would be? We really haven't seen a lot of Soucy this year. When he's played, he's been good. But again, Noah Juulsen stepping up as well. But I think the lack of Joshua is something that that's really been quite surprising just how much it affects us. So Arshdeep Bains has a similar kind of play to his game that Joshua has, you know, good skater. He's probably a better skater than Joshua, but doesn't quite play maybe as physical as Joshua. He still plays pretty physical, but he's a good replacement in there. And another one that, depending on how a playoff series goes and what you need, I can see Arshdeep Bains being a really good fourth liner out there, you know, in certain games. If you needed like an Amon centering Lafferty and Bains or something like that, I can see that being a bit of a pain in the ass line to play against.
Yeah, I think with Joshua right now, the biggest impact he's had is on the PK, because he was playing so well on the PK. And obviously that third line was producing 5-on-5 as well. But it's the PK that I think, you know, we're really seeing the effect of not having Joshua in the lineup. And I do think it kind of goes in hand with the struggles the Canucks have had the last, what, 5-6 games since he's been out of the lineup. To me, it's no coincidence, right, that Joshua isn't there, because he has been a very important contributor to this team, 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill. But, you know, they got guys in Tuck here. Like you said, you know, with Bains potentially next year being a full-time NHLer, Pod Colson, Atu Rati, who's a big physical body, who's seemingly starting to get his game going. I don't think a guy like Lekkerimäki will be ready to jump to the NHL next year.
And I don't think he should.
No, and, you know, he needs to get used to playing on the smaller ice surface. There is talk about getting him over when his season ends, but I do think his team is now primed to make a playoff run, or to get in the playoffs, so that might delay him coming over. And then just circling back to what you said about the potential of adding a guy like Jake Guentzel. For me, if you're going to add a guy, it has to, and this is what you've heard, right? I think Rick Dhaliwal's reported this locally, is that if the Canucks are going to trade one of their top tier prospects, whether that's a Lekkerimäki or a Tom Wilander, I don't think it's going to be for a rental like a Guentzel. I think it would be for a guy that is signed to a decent deal that still fits in that age range. Like, I don't know, I'm throwing a name out there, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but like a Travis Konecny, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Philly's trying to rebuild. They're trying to restock the cupboard. Konecny, I think, would be a great addition for this team. He's signed to a pretty good deal for the next 2-3 years. That would make more sense than a guy like Guentzel, who's going to be a straight up rental. And then the other issue for me with Guentzel is, yes, he has been a, you know, a 40 goal scorer twice in his career, a playoff performer. But my biggest issue is he gets injured far too often.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't see the Canucks trading Lekkerimäki or Wilander under pretty much any circumstances right now. But yeah, I agree. It would be something more like in line with the Filip Hronek trade. And I know I've been saying this for a while. The trade deadline's coming up, man. It's getting close here. And I wonder if there's I mean, Hronek deal came out of nowhere. I wonder if there's things that they're looking at that are just going to come out of nowhere, because it really did. Nobody seemed to have a sniff that the Canucks were after Filip Hronek in this market. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. The guy, look, I don't think they're going to trade him, but the guy who definitely seems disgruntled, who is very young and I think has extremely high potential, is a David Yurechek out of Columbus. That would be a guy, you know, he's frustrated. Now, they did just fire Jarmo Kekalainen, so you know, maybe that bridge gets mended here, but that would be the guy that I would want if I was the Canucks. I'd be calling them up, right shot defenseman. I think he's 21 years old. He's been lighting it up in the AHL. And yet he still isn't an everyday NHL player with the big club, which doesn't make sense because Columbus is an absolute tire fire right now. Guys like Eric Branson are playing ahead of him, which just does not make sense. And I know they've committed a lot of money to an Eric Branson, but again, it just does not make sense if you look at the player. That would be a guy I'd be willing to trade one of my top two prospects for, because he's very young as well. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. When is the trade deadline? I think I'm going to be in San Diego.
Yeah, and I'm going to I'm going to be in Europe. So it's going to be, actually, I guess it's not the worst time difference for me, but because I think it's, is it midday? Is it noon that the deadline
noon,
is?
Noon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 3 Eastern. Noon. Yeah, 3 Eastern, exactly.
Yeah. I think it's March 5th. It's about a week away now.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, I still think the Canucks are going to make a move to add a depth defenseman. I'm not sure if they're going to do anything else up front. I'm really not. I think they're going to explore options. I think a guy that they would like to move in a deal, if it was possible, is a guy like maybe Ilya Mikheyev.
Yeah, I agree. I
just don't know if there's anything out there. I think overall, I think the likelihood of a trade for a forward is lower, but I do think the Canucks are going to go out and get a defenseman. And I still think they might make a depth move for another goalie, who they goalie who's probably already in the AHL, who's maybe on a UFA deal with a team. I think they, I could see them maybe doing that just for a bit more depth. And also if they don't use them on the big club, just to help out Abbotsford in the playoff run.
Yeah. That's definitely got potential. I think Mikheyev is a guy that they might try to trade as well. I agree with you. Like, he's the guy, if they need to move money out, he to me is the number one candidate to be part of a package to move that money out to make a deal work financially. Thing with Mikheyev is I believe he's still signed for one more year after this.
Two.
So that team would have, is it two more years after this? Okay. Yeah. So that team's going to have to commit to him for at least two more years after this. Whether or not they're going to want to do that, just, I guess, depends on the return they get, right?
Yeah, and you can retain a bit of that too, maybe to soften it. But again, that's more dead money. But you may have to, something like that. That's kind of what I see happening. I think it's going to be pretty fascinating. We got Canucks Kings coming up here, Canucks Ducks the rest of the week.
How crazy is it? It's a leap year this year, February 29th, and it's the first time all season the Canucks are playing the LA Kings. Isn't that wild? Weird. Like, who makes the schedule, dude?
And I think we played the Sharks four times and the Oilers thrice.
Yeah, and I also want to give one last shout out to another player who I think's really stepped up their game the last week or so, and that's Nikita Zadorov. I think Zadorov's been a lot better. Not that he was playing bad per se, but I think he's really upped his game the last like 2-3 weeks here.
Yeah, and with that, with the big men, Tyler Myers is skating like I've never seen him skate before. He's had at least in the Boston game and the Pittsburgh game, he had twice had times where he jumped in the rush and made a couple of nice moves into the slot. I'd never seen him do that in his Vancouver time. It's quite surprising, but yeah, both the big guys have been playing well, and we need that going into the postseason. We need the big guys to play like big guys.
Yeah, they just need to stop taking so many penalties. Not just them, but the team as a whole.
But some of them were real chintzy calls, man.
I agree.
There's some real chintzy ones going on out there. But anyways, Doug, it's about that time. Let's take this to the free pour.
All right, it's that time of the episode for the free pour open floor. And before the Gremlins take over Pete's computer again, I want to talk about a show that I have been watching since its inception, and this is meant to be the last season of the show, and that's Curb Your Enthusiasm. The final season is out now. I think it's three or four episodes in, and it's been great. Also, sad news, the Curb staple, Richard Lewis, playing himself, passed away today. Comedian, was also in an iconic movie from the 90s, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Classic, ridiculous movie. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. I know you, Pete, are a big fan of Curb as well.
Awesome.
People, I'm sure everybody knows, but Curb is essentially Larry David, who is one of the co-creators of Seinfeld. If you're a fan of Seinfeld, it's like Seinfeld, but on steroids. The character George Costanza is based off of Larry for the most part. And yeah, it's sad to see the show kind of call it quits after, I think this is their 12th season. But I get it. You know, Larry's kind of come and gone. He's never done 12 straight years. There was a time I think they took a 3-4 year hiatus. Sad to hear the news of Richard Lewis today. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Curb, the final season, and Richard Lewis.
Man, I knew you were going to do Curb today, especially when I saw Richard Lewis trending on Twitter. I was expecting it. I love that show. I was actually going to do a TV one as well, because I don't actually do a lot of TV ones, but I'm kind of giving you guys a trifecta here. I love watching like sports documentaries and miniseries and stuff. So I know we've talked a bit about Welcome to Wrexham, which season 2 is out. Sunderland Till I Die, which I thought the series was dead, put out a mini third season, just 3 episodes. It's fantastic. Like, I still say that nothing really captures the passion of sports fans like Sunderland Till I Die. Highly recommend that as well. And while I was traveling, I watched the Beckham docuseries, which was also excellent. I mean, that is such a interesting character in the world of sports. When I was growing up in my teens and just, you know, going back and forth when my dad moved back to England, Beckham was everywhere over there, but not as much here. And then when he crossed over in the States, it was huge. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry, man. I'll do some Googling here. Four times, man. It's like every 10 minutes it goes. But yeah, Beckham, interesting character. I thought it was a great docuseries, made the plane ride enjoyable, and highly recommend watching all three of those. And I got to go sort out my gremlins here. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. That's season 5, episode 18, episode 164 overall, just about in the books. As always, we are on the Twitter machine still. I'm at Pete_Gas. Podcast is at Canuck Speak.
You can follow me on Twitter at Doug Venn. Be sure to check out the Canuck Speak Easy outro playlist on Spotify and Apple Music. This funky jam is going to be getting added to the list at the end of this episode.
And also Brendan, who's off sick this week. He can't talk, which is probably a blessing for everyone. He's at Jabo_Vancouver. And we're also on YouTube. You can see how we try and patch this mess together with my camera and everything shutting down. But you can find us at Canuck Speak on YouTube.
Thanks for listening.
Hasta luego.